The actual secret is, as soon as you're actually absorbed in the service of the Lord, then it's a Brahman platform. Now, Brahman, we may be on the Brahman platform, but we may not be Brahman realized. That's the problem. In other words, realization of yourself as Brahman, because we are Brahman, the soul is Brahman. And Brahman means the eternal nature, which is Sat, Chit, Ananda, full of knowledge, full of bliss eternally. That's our true nature. But we're very, very small. We can't see with the eye, only 10,000 parts of the tip of the head, which is animated. We are animating this body, giving life to this body. But unfortunately, we're identifying ourselves as this body rather than what we actually are. What are we actually? What is our true nature? Please answer. What is our real nature? Say it? Yes. Tana Sarva Krishna. And how are we serving Krishna eternally? What mood are we in? Love. Nitya Siddha Krishna Brahma. So that's our actual constitution. But now we've divorced ourselves from that somehow or other. We've been coming to the material world, and a body has grown around us, a huge, like a mountain, this body, compared with the size, 110,000 pounds. But this huge body has grown around us, and we're conditioned in this material world, and Krishna covers us with forgetfulness, avidya, forgetfulness of who we are. So then all we can perceive is through these senses, right? And our imaginations. So then the first thing we have to identify with is this body. And then this body, then what's around me, then my family, my nation, etc., etc., humanity, universe, starts. And then we begin to, because it's actually uncomfortable. It's hard work to move this body, to keep this body going. All the things you have to do for it, keep on feeding it, and cleaning it, and emptying it, and making it look nice, and making it smell nice, and making it, and to do all those things, you have to work all day. So it's hard work. Then you've got these adhyatmic, the problems from the mind and the body, and distresses, sickness, etc. Adhyatmic. No, there's problems from the mind and body. Adhidevic is natural disturbances, things that we don't want. Famine, earthquakes. All those kind of things, natural disasters, and then from other living entities, Adivoti, from other living entities, mosquitoes, nasty people, things like that. So that's part of the package of the material world the body has to go. Then you have to go through those four stages of being born, which is very uncomfortable. Mothers know that. It's uncomfortable to have a baby, gently. Right? And it's very uncomfortable for the baby child, or the child. The Prabhupada mentions, because the child's consciousness at that age is not developed, so you can tolerate the pain and without dying, because its consciousness is not so great. But anyway, you generally see the baby crying, and not easy being born the way it's born, after being quite comfortable for 9 months. It's a very traumatic entrance into the material world. Then there's old age, then there's sickness, and then there's again death, which is also traumatic. And then in between that, we're very concerned with spending our time on eating, sleeping, defending, and looking to enjoy. These are the four principles which are governing all the moving living entities. It's hard work. For a poor little jiva who's used to being free, complete freedom, In the spiritual world, there's complete freedom. There's no obstacles. There's no time and space to pass through to achieve what you want to do. So that's it. That's the position of Brahman, actual freedom. But we don't have that realization. We're not self-realized, unfortunately. Otherwise, we'd be feeling peaceful and happy. But still, we haven't realized we're Brahman, we are Brahman, in essence. We're just misidentifying ourselves as matter, as part of this material world. And so then there's certain activities here. There are certain activities which are binding, which are increasing this consciousness that I am this body, and increasing my endeavor to overcome the obstacles and achieve happiness. These are the two things that we're looking for. that's the motivation to keep us going. And so these activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, which is all the activities in the material world. What else is anyone doing? One of those things, right? Trying to defend eating, sleeping, trying to enjoy, and trying to defend himself. Working, that means defense, right? Because you're working to get a facility where you can defend yourself, clothes, place to stay, right? Car to drive. Food, and then you can think about the enjoying when you've got all those things together. So that if you're the human beings and the animals and the insects, they were doing the same thing. Four things: eating, sleeping, making, defending. There now, however, there are activities which are liberating. When we're acting for with the bodily identification, when we're acting to improve our situation, how we can improve our eating, how we can improve our enjoyment, how we can improve our defense systems, then that's called material. That means the false ego is becoming strengthened, because the false ego is you are the body. You can control your environment, and then you'll be happy when you do that. When you become on top, when you become successful, then you can really enjoy it. So this is the impetus, this is the force here. And so when there's success in our activities, we get a little secure, feel a little secure, we feel some happiness, and that fortifies, yes, we can do it. Experience is real. Yeah, there is some happiness, I've experienced it, there is some, a feeling of security, I've experienced it. So then we'll endeavor for that. So that makes the force ego stronger, and at the same time, because we're dealing with the material energy, we're acting in the material energy for our betterment, those actions, they have a reaction, what we call karma. Action and reaction. So every time you're acting, identifying with the material energy and trying to manipulate the material energy for our own enjoyment, then there's going to be a reaction. There's a subtle reaction and a gross reaction. The subtle reaction goes into the impressions in the mind, consciousness, and the gross activity will perform there'll be a reaction for that also. Now in the future, then we'll have to experience those reactions. So in all of our activities throughout our throughout this life, because all we know is this life, then we produce so many reactions. Now, karma's not instant, as we know. If it was, it would be good, it would be easy to understand and get out of. You've got instant reaction, but it's not like that. So we don't know how it actually works, how many lifetimes we're experiencing from different lifetimes. Was it the last one? Was it many lifetimes? Or was it, you know, was it coming in sequence? Nobody knows, understands properly. But in any case, we have to accept with faith. So, while we're performing activities, then that's creating our result. Then we have to take another body, because we have to get that result, you see. So even if you're a pious person, then you've got good results coming, good karma coming. So you still have to take birth to enjoy that good karma. So this pious and impious, they're both relative. Religious or irreligious, they're both relative, because they will both bring you back into the material world. One will bring you into the higher system, much more comfortable life. One will bring you into a much more uncomfortable life. But still, you're coming back. That's the problem. Because as soon as you come back again, there's old age, disease, death, and yet again, you're a devotee. you didn't really resolve the problems. Maybe temporarily, for one birth, if you go on a heavenly planet, you resolve a lot of the miseries of life. But you haven't made a solution to it. So it's a, how do you get out of this wheel of samsara? The cycle of birth and death, how do we break this? This is a mystery. So Krishna gives a secret that within the material world is also the Brahman, the spiritual, is also what comes in the material world. It's like Krishna descends, Goloka Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name is descended from the spiritual world, Goloka. So that's not material. Krishna avatars in different, as Krishna, Ram, Simran, Brahma, avatars. He's nothing to do with this material world. His dham, his devotees, his arch of vigra are forms which he inspires somebody to carve. And so these are the spiritual aspects within the material world. This is the Brahman. This is Brahman within the matter. So the secret is that if we direct our consciousness and our activities and connect it with the spiritual, then automatically it means we're not connecting with the material. So then there's no more reaction. Well, we can't do two things at once. So we're performing our activities towards the spiritual, at the spiritual, so we're not directing it at the material, which is eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We're not thinking that we changed our consciousness. So then there's no material reaction. You understand? Understand? So if there's no material reaction, it's not karma. So what is it? This is the question. Yeah, karma. It means there's spirit and there's matter, basically. Of course Krishna has hundreds of energies, but there's spirit and there's matter. So if it's not matter, then it's spirit. So that's it. As soon as you connect with the spirituality within the material, then there's no material reaction from that activity. So if you can do that 24 hours a day, then there'll be no reaction coming. When that reaction runs out, then there's no need to take birth again, because you haven't got anything to experience. There's no more reactions to experience. So that is our program. It had to be 24 hours a day engaged in Krishna consciousness. And of course, we're explaining in more abstract terms, but everything is actually personal. So we're connected to the person, Krishna. We understand that we're actually persons. The Gyan is see all this as an impersonal light. We're this tiny spirit soul, speck of light. And the Lord is a huge light. And when we come into, when the spark of light goes into the huge light, it loses its identity. Or if you take a drop of water, of water, and put it in the ocean, that drop of water doesn't exist anymore. It becomes part of the ocean. But that's actually, that's a material example. This doesn't work like, actually doesn't work like that. We're eternal spirit souls. Prabhupada mentions here, the Lord is eternal. We are eternal. And we are eternal individual. If we're not individual, then there's no real enjoyment. Enjoyment means two. Prabhupada says here, devotion. Bhakti yoga means two. Bhakti means two. It means exchange. Love. You can't have love by yourself. There has to be something to love, you see. So in the Brahman, what we call the impersonalist yogis, they call this mukti liberation. Kevala mukti means entering into the Brahman jyoti of the Lord. Just that's the state of existence. There's no bhakti there, because there's nothing to identify with. You're just existing, you see. So that's not, it's not considered by the Vaishnavas, although it's a very popular philosophy. Because it's popular because the material world is subtle. And it's very difficult to try to make ends meet in the material world, because at the end of the night you're going to get old and you're going to die. It's frustrating. Things happen that we don't want to happen. So then this is a way out. This is like, it's actually, Mayavada is more is a philosophy of frustration. I can't control the material world, I can't enjoy it, I've tried, but I realize I can't do it, so let me just get out of it altogether, just switch it off, and switch everything off. This is a philosophy of frustration. But actually you can't switch it off, because you're eternal. But they won't, and it's also a philosophy of being envious of God. Either you're ignorant of God or you're envious of God. So this, I don't want to surrender to Krishna, anything but that. Just like modern scientists, anything but surrender to Krishna. Even if someone's like the, this relatively new theory, it's an intelligent design. It's so obvious that there is intelligence in the design, in the creation, in the microbiologist, and looking inside the cell, and it's mind-blowing. It's like a huge city. It's like a city, you know, factories and things are going on. Where does that intelligence come from? And every cell. But there are anything but God, anything but Krishna, right? Big Bang, this, that, the other, anything but not God. So that's envious of God. So even you don't want to, because if there's God, then I have to be, it means I'm a servant of God. And if there's a God, I'm a servant of God, it means I've got to be subordinate to God. If I've got to be subordinate, then I have to serve God, and I don't want to do that, I want everyone to serve me. That's what I can, that's what the material world is all about. We want to be on top, nobody wants to be the servant. So then they become envious of Krishna. Like that. So that Mayavada philosophy, so the last snare of Maya, okay, you can't become God. We're trying to be the most popular. Everyone wants to be on top, right? In every field. But you can't. Everyone can't do it. You can be on top, but you can be the, you know, Miss Universe, or the best singer, you know, top of the thing, or the best actor of the time, or the, you know, whatever. The most powerful leader, politician. You can't have all those attributes at once, like Krishna has six qualities in four. And even if you get one, you can't remain there for very, very long. So it's kinda frustrating. So the Mayavadi philosophy says, okay, I can't be God, but I can become one with God. At least there's no one above me. That's envious. At least I can't be God, but at least there's no one above me. Isn't that envious? Why not recognize there is God and surrender to Him? So that's why Krishna comes here. He these different incarnations and performs different pastimes and different moods, because we're all different people. We all have slightly different mentalities. So then one incarnation, one activity of Krishna will appeal to somebody, and one activity will appeal to another person. So it's very, he has a very broad range of activities and incarnations. So that's, we can hook up somewhere, whatever our mentality is. But it, within Krishna, this Krishna, Vrindavan, Vraja Krishna, you see all of the, he exhibits more qualities than all of the other incarnations. Nobody can exhibit, they're all the same person. He's the same person expanding, Krishna. But he doesn't show all the qualities that Krishna shows. He's the original personality of Godhead. That's why I say he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Because his personality is supreme, because it has, in Krishna, his personality, he displays more qualities and attributes than any other incarnation of majesty, of power, and of sweetness. Lord Ram is the next behind him. And then the Nrsimhadev. And they're very special, very sweet. So some of them, like Mahaprabhu, was very beautiful. Vamandev was very beautiful. Well, that's Krishna. Nrsimhadev was very powerful. But Krishna will exhibit all of those, the power, the majesty, and the sweetness also, beauty, sweetness. So we say Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. But in any case, whichever of Krishna's personalities we're attracted to, that's fine. It's perfection. And we, by developing by hearing about him, then we get an attraction for him, because Krishna naturally is all attractive. So if you hear about him, one should be attractive. If one is not too envious, or too fallen, then one should automatically be attractive when one hears about Krishna. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, for the soul, some hear him as amazing, some understand him as amazing, but others don't understand him at all. So it depends on your adhika. If you're too sinful, then you won't be allowed to enter into the realm of understanding because of our sinful activities. It's like the animals, they can't do it. They have to wait till they come to human form. And in the human form, the very primitive stages, if you're a very sinful human, they can't do it either. Therefore, they always become angry when they see the devotees. That's simple. They don't have the adhika. Just like we're trying to surrender to Krishna, we don't have the adhika. We know what to do. We know all the rules. We have all the facility to hear by the mercy of Prabhupada. ISKCON, we have all the facility here to surrender to Krishna completely and serve him 24 hours a day. But we're still not. Although we want to surrender to Krishna, we want to surrender our mind and our activities and everything, we can't do it. Something's stopping us. We don't have the adhikar to do it, unfortunately. And that's due to our previous karmas and the stubbornness of the mind and the false ego. We just, even though we want to do it, we can't. Just like Arjuna asked Krishna, what is it that forcibly compels a man to act in a way that he doesn't want to act? And Krishna said, it's lust, rajagun. To my rajagun, you don't want to do it. You've got to address it. You've got to address it. It's just, I just can't ignore it. It just means so much to me. I've got to address it. Motive, passion. So that we want to surrender to Krishna. We have all the facility to surrender to Krishna. And we have the knowledge to surrender to Krishna. Something's just stopping us. So this is affliction from the modes of nature. We're not deserving that at the moment. So then we have to wait for more, continue and pray for mercy, because we, by ourselves, we don't actually have the adhikar. So then we have to call out to the Krishna and these pure devotees, but please, you have to, I need your mercy, because I can't do it by myself. So, but the point we're making here is that is spirituality within the material world. So if we're connected to that, then that is the actual platform of Brahman. When we're absorbed to the degree that we're absorbed in that activity, and with the proper understanding, to that degree we'll have realization. When we have the adhikar, then we'll actually get the realization. And Krishna is the most wonderful person, he's all attractive. And then you'd be naturally attracted, just like who are we attracted to in our society? Right, we're attracted to those pure devotees, right? We're attracted. Something about them, they're very attractive. Because they don't have so much covering over the soul. Right? That's gone away by the performance of the devotional service. So naturally those persons they become attractive. They're the ones we like, the ones that always engage in devotional service, right? Never falling down at any moment. Because that means they're situated in the Brahman platform. And they're attractive because the soul is attractive. So the more the soul is uncovered, the less the covering, then the more attractive that person becomes. So you find that's attractive. The soul is attractive. That's why the Krishna says, Brahman Bhutra, Prasanatmananda. Once you taste this Brahman, once you realize yourself, you know there's nothing else to compare with. There's no higher taste in the material world. There's nothing to compare with that. It was a great source of happiness, Brahmananda, great source of happiness. That's how natural you experience it on your own true nature, the Ananda aspect. And the Jnanis, the Yogis, they give up the whole material world for that. They give up all material endeavor for pleasure for that, once they've experienced that. And that's only 1/10,000th part of the tip of the head, which you can't even see. You know how many souls go across the tip of your pinky? One line, not terrible, just one straight line. I did the maths. It's about at least a million. That's how big we are. And how attractive that is. Yeah? So just imagine how attractive Krishna is. His whole body is Atma. Very attractive. So attractive. If you can give up the whole pursuit for material happiness for one, for that is, you can't even see it. Just imagine what it's like. Because the soul is attractive, the body is attractive because the soul is there. When the soul is gone, the body is not attractive. So just imagine how attractive Krishna is. He's the soul of the souls. So this we have to learn. So simultaneously, we hear Krishna's given us this philosophy, plus he's come here to offer service to himself by bringing his devotees and performing his pastimes here, that we can see how Krishna likes to be served. What mentality his devotees have when they serve him, what is their attitude, how they serve him, what Krishna likes. So we can learn all these things from these histories and then apply it to our own devotion. And while we're doing that, then we're karma free. Realization will have to come later. At the first time we do it, we should be situated on the Brahman platform here. There's no karma happening to us because we're not looking for any material situation right now, or thinking of or planning for any material enjoyment right now. We hope if we're listening to the absorbed in the message of Bhagavad Gita. So this is not, there's no karma. So this is the platform of liberation. But we don't feel liberated. We just feel like the same as you know. But it will come. This is the Jekyll path of the Marjan. It's cleaning the heart of all these misgivings automatically, just by hearing this transcendental knowledge, because it's about Krishna. Then automatically that purification takes place as a side effect of practicing bhakti, the Krishna consciousness. So if we continue, if we continue in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, it means unfailing. It means if you fail, then you get back and start again. That's what it means. But if you don't fail, but who can do it 24/7? Just, you know, engage in service. So you have to fall, you know, because our ground zero is fallen. You know, we're trying to become Krishna, but it's not like we're trying to stay out of Maya. We're in Maya, we're trying to become Krishna conscious. So it means if you're unfair in all circumstances, it means you fall, but you get back on again. You at once transcend the modes of material nature. And even if you fall, they get back and start. Krishna says that person is to be considered their management, because he's rightly situated. As long as you don't go off the path and stay off the path, then you're rightly situated. You get back, and Krishna says that person is to be considered a mahatma, a great soul, because he hasn't deviated from his ultimate direction, which is to Krishna, is Krishna, to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, know Krishna, to go back to Krishna. So that's the actual purpose of Krishna saying. You once transcend the laws of material nature, and thus comes the level of Brahma, transcendental. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions on this subject? 1, 2, 3.
He said, although we desire to surrender to Krishna, we can't do it because of our adhikara. So, please clarify my misunderstanding. I always thought that it is actually the sincerity of our desire would actually bring us to the actual surrender, not the other kind. So, can you clarify that?
You heard? Translated?
Yes.
No, your sincerity of desire is your adhikara. We don't have that sincerity of desire. Sincerity of purpose. We don't have it. We're not performing these activities most of the time for the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna. Why have we come here tonight? Why would we join the Hare Krishnas? To improve your life. Yeah, so it's not for Krishna's benefit, it's our benefit we've actually come for us here. To improve our situation. So it's not pure bhakti. We're going to Krishna. Okay, Krishna, I'll do what you say. I'll chant Hare Krishna, I'll pray Tila. I'll do this. This is what I want. It's more kind of business, not real bhakti. Some bhakti, but it's hope that by doing those desires will actually become purified. So we shouldn't leave. If in case Krishna gives us what we came for, we shouldn't say thank you and go away. We should. That's why it's a gradual process. We should. It's hoped that in the process of trying to achieve our personal motivations, the process is bhakti. Is directly to Krishna, bhakti yoga, and although the ulterior motivation is there, the present motivation, the present thing, you may be absorbed in your service to doing it for Krishna, although you add something else ultimately at the end. It's not to really learn it, to go to Krishna, to love Krishna, but still you're doing that service very sincerely. You're taking part in the Sankirtan mission, and Lord Chaitanya is very happy. You're assisting his Sankirtan mission. So you're doing actual service for him. Although our motivation is not pure, it's karma mishra or gyana mishra. It has one of those two mixtures, either for our salvation, improvement, or our enjoyment. By doing that, by engaging in bhakti as a side, as a byproduct, your senses become purified. Your mind becomes purified. Your intelligence becomes purified, and the hunger becomes purified, and your desires become purified. Then you understand, hey, why should we do it now? Because what the happiness I'm searching for, the comfort or happiness I'm searching for, is blocking. I'm putting it in front of the real happiness. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. We have a great relationship in love in the spiritual world. And I'm looking, and I'm asking for something else. Then it's by anatta nivritti, which follows from bhakti yoga. Then you'll see these things. They'll become clear. Then you can give them up. And then we practice pure devotional service. Right now we don't have the time to do that because of our, we still have these attachments for our self-interest. So that's like synonymous, the adhikara and the quality of desire or the sincerity of desire. So we are the two questions. Number two? Yes.
You were mentioning Krishna's qualities. I would like to ask, would you please be so kind to tell us which one of the Krishna's qualities is your favorite and why?
Mine? Then I go from here. Mine's the best one. Mine is the best one. Confirmed by the acharyas. Well, Krishna Bhakta Vatsala, very affectionate to his devotees. But I especially like when Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees. That's that quality I like. That he runs away from Mother Yasoda and he's scared. She's chasing him, she has to put the stick down, otherwise he's really scared, he starts to shake. And he drives out during his chariot. He washes everyone's feet in the Rajasuya sacrifice, he takes that position. He acts as adornment for Bali. These things are there. Because I think Ravas God, I'd just be sitting out here and everyone's ceremonially enjoying like anything, but he's going actually down on certain things. That's fine. Number three. Is it back?
Me.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Just to meet again. I'm back from morning. Okay. Questo sintomi osso per cui vanno molto bene la transcendental noi vanno sintomi.
What yes. are the visible symptoms of the person that are that is pure?
Pure.
Quattro.
On transcendental quattro.
A questo sintomi osso per cui a to pokušava il umile.
And which are the symptoms of a person who tries to do it and is performing a show of an attainment?
I rezultati nas koji služimo takve osobe kakvi mogu biti?
And if we are connected with these persons, through service. What result?
The first person and the second person.
Yes. But this first class and second class. What is our like
achievement?
Yeah. What do we achieve by serving them?
Well, the more advanced the devotee, then then obviously the you serve them, there'd be a greater benefit. They have more to give. The symptoms of an advanced devotee, as Prabhupada said, it was in regards to someone asked Prabhupada, an interviewer asked Prabhupada, how do you recognize a guru? He said the one who is addicted to Krishna.
He's
a real guru. He can be a real guru. He has to be addicted to Krishna, not anything else. So it means one who is fully engaged in service. I mean, we, from our own experience, which devotees do we like best? You find that the devotees that we like best, they're generally the ones that are really always doing service, always engaged in hearing, chanting, remembering, and always engaged in service. You see them like that, and they become very dear to us, don't they? And especially if they have the a good behavior, like, you know, humility and tolerance and unassuming. Pure. Then it's better if they have both the pracha and the acha. that's first class. It's rare. So they're the devotees that we actually like, aren't they? The ones that always, we have faith in them, that they're steady, we know they're always engaged in Krishna service. And we get our great inspiration from them, so we can follow them. So one who's always engaged in serving Krishna, that's it. And one who's making a show, he's still a devotee. nobody would join this come for sense gratification. plenty of much easier available outside. But of course, pride already is there, we can vision souls. And of course, if you actually deviate from the proper behavior, then you can get also carried away by the stupid devotees. But generally, you understand. If you've been around a little while, you'll understand. And if you can't understand anyway, it probably means they're more advanced than us anyway. So they may be on the Kanista platform, but still they're devotees. But as we advance, then we can also, we choose our own association. It should become obvious. You can fall. And it should become obvious as we advance. And then we choose our own association. The person is a similar nature. Even if someone's advanced, we don't have to associate with them. If they're not of the same nature, it's not an offense that you don't associate with. If you associate with people with similar nature, you can have a good rapport. Is that okay?
Personally, I have difficulty to be engaged in people's full devotional service. So can you explain a little practically what full devotional service means and have maybe advice?
What it means practically?
Yes, and how to be engaged in full devotional service.
If you're living outside, that is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's much easier inside. I don't have to worry about cooking. I don't have to worry about fashion. I don't have to worry about buying cloth or buying toothpaste or where I'm going to sleep. So it's very simple. There's a nice facility there. So we can just serve Krishna all day. But if I'm living outside, then you can still be fully engaged if you're living outside. Now, first of all, to maintain your life, you have to work. Someone has to work. Someone in the house has to work. So that requires, and if you're, whatever you do to make a living, most people are sudra. In Kali Yuga, it means people work for salary. That means sudra. You go to the office or the factory, and you do your work, and they're all calm, is there, and they all leave me, they smoke, and they talk nonsense. So, but you're not there to associate with them. You're there for the same reason, there to get the salary. So whoever's there, that's coincidental. and he behaved like himself, like a lady, a gentleman. And but you let people know where you're at. Devotee of Krishna, so they don't keep coming off a new cigarette or come out for a drink and things like that. Just tell them your principles, they respect it. Tell them you're a principled person and these are, you know. And you don't, although you're working with these people, you don't associate with them intimately, like you do with the devotees, the six exchanges of love, of revealing your mind, inquiring in confidence, giving and accepting presence and prasad. Of course you can give prasad. But yet that you say for the devotees. You can preach to them, but you don't be intimate with them like that. So then that's not considered association. It's not considered association. It's just circumstantial thing. Now why, what are you going to do with that salary? You can use that to maintain your house, to so you can eat, sleep, enjoy and defend, right? But now, how will you eat, sleep, enjoy and defend? Well, eat, sleep, enjoy and defend according to the rules that we're given, according to how Krishna wants us. We don't eat prasadam. We don't sleep. We're going to sleep too much. We get up before the sun. We'll enjoy according to the within the framework of intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. Within that, there's plenty of other things we can enjoy. So we're connected like that. And defending, you've got to spend money on your defense as much as you can, as much as is that you need to address. So, because you're a devotee, you're practicing Krishna consciousness, then that you're working all day for that money. But that's the support of Krishna conscious life. So that's not, it's not material. The work is not material. It's called Gauna Bhakti, subsidiary devotional activity, indirect devotion. It's supporting your devotional activities. So it's not material. Everyone has to work, you see. So that's not considered material. And it's not considered association with the colleagues at work, if they're not devotees. So then you can remember, then you go to the market, you buy your fruit, you come home and cook it, not cook to Krishna, and you eat it, and you live your Krishna conscious life as much as possible, as much free time as you have. And that's fine. That's Krishna consciousness at home. That's Brahma. Brahma Platinum, sannyas. The similar question is, this is what, from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's reading between the lines in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna's dialogue, which Vishwanath Chakravarti is very good at. So Krishna says, all of them, all my devotees come back to me. So then Arjuna says, wait a minute, Krishna, you say they all come back to you. Look, you're the sannyasis. They've given everything, every next day. They're serving you 24/7. But the householders, they can't do that. They can serve you a little bit in the evening, in the morning, but they're busy all day. And how can you say that they all come back, all my devotees all come back to me? There's a great difference there. He said, no, Krishna, there's not a difference. I don't see there's a difference. He said, because the sannyasi, he doesn't have any work to do. He's renounced. He has free time. He has no family, nothing to do. He has nothing to support. So he gives me 24 hours a day. He gives me all of his free time. The householder, they only have three or four hours. But they give me that 3 or 4 hours. They also give me all their free time. Sannyasi didn't make all his free time. The Grihastha, he has so many karmas to perform, but still, all his free time he gives me. So they both give me all their free time. So they're both the same. Very nice. Good consciousness, Krishna. And so he says, you know, all their free time they're giving me. They surrendered. They got 24 hours, they're given 24 hours of sannyasis. The Grihasthas, they got their karmas to perform. They've only got 4 hours, they give me 4 hours. They give me everything they have. Because anyway, the Grihasthas, you're supporting the sannyasis. And the brahmacharis, and the vanapasa, they don't work. Right? We're eating because of you. You're the ones that work. The Grihasthas, the brahmacharis, the others don't work. So that's why the Grihastha ashram is the greatest. It's maintaining all of the other ashrams. But they're all ashrams, they're all spiritual states, positions. They're all ashram, Grihastha ashram, Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Sannyas ashram. They're all ashrams to serve Krishna. So however much, you know, the other three, they have plenty of time. They're not obliged because they're not maintaining it or everyone like the Grihasthas. But whatever time the Grihasthas have, after doing their karmas and their duties, they give that to Krishna, then they're exactly the same position as the sannyasi, Grihastha, or brahmacharya. Sorry, the sannyasi, vanaprastha. Easy? Mm-hmm.